Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
All right, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. That's why we're doing tonight's show for only 60 minutes. Those of you all that wanted us to go a little longer, we do apologize for that, but we've certainly got a lot to cover in those 60 minutes. So without hesitation, I want to go ahead and begin to welcome our various co-hosts tonight. Let me begin by bringing in the international man himself, Pastor Castile Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you.
Well, I just want to say good evening to everyone, and it's always great to be on the show, and it's about fellowship, you know. It's no ship like fellowship. So when we can fellowship with our sisters and brothers, hosts and co-hosts and our leader, and interact. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Great to be on the show, Dr. Walker. And to everyone, it's great to be on the show. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right, thank you so much for that. Let's go ahead and welcome the Demon Slayer, Mr. Lorenzo, a.k.a. Demon Slayer. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure, sir.
Great to be here on the show on this fine Thursday. Another very good intro by Pastor Castillo.
All right, excellent, excellent. We also have a newcomer tonight that's going to be joining us. Let's go ahead and welcome Miss, let's see here, 817-798. It's not coming up in the queue. Who do we have with us, 817-798?
Good evening, right, Dr. Walker. This
good
is
evening.
Sparkles.
Oh, Ms. Mm-hmm. Sparkles, thank you so much for joining us, Sparkles. It's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Thank you.
All right. Let's also, I think we've got Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, do we have you there?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here this evening.
All right. Ricky to the rescue, is always a pleasure to have you with us. All right. We're going to get started, and then we'll go to some more of our various co-hosts that will be joining us momentarily. I want to begin by asking a question. You know, first of all, tonight's topic is one that we will not forget. Are your excuses causing a detriment in your relationship or your relationship with others? Let me begin with Demon Slayer. Let me start with you tonight and ask the question. First of all, have you ever come across people who make a lot of excuses?
Yes.
Okay, and how does that make you feel when they're always making excuses?
I'm more of a military mind, and it's more direct. It's like, okay, you got to be in formation at 0600, or you got to be somewhere at 1700. You got to be there right on time. It's not anything to do with a minute late or anything like that. Or you're gonna be, it's gonna suffer dire consequences for that. So it's a different mindset when you're in the military, and somebody that's coming to interact with you with a lot of excuses, you tend to be kind of allergic to that spirit. You know what I mean? Because they're always making up excuses, and at a point, it can be counterproductive. And I don't really like to deal with people that's making a lot of excuses, because behind excuses become lies, and then lies come up, a whole another thing that you have to deal with. So I really don't like to deal with people with a lot of excuses.
Hey, you're Mike. I'm telling you, that's what it comes down to. Let's go ahead and welcome Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. She will give us a disclaimer in just a moment. Miss J, welcome.
Hello, everyone, and I'm glad to be back again. So I'm ready to get started, sir.
All right, excellent, Ms. Day. We'll come back to you momentarily for tonight's disclaimer. Let me go ahead and ask here. Let's go ahead. Sparkles, how do you feel about when people make excuses? We heard Demon Slayer say it comes down to sometimes lies, and I agree with that. Do you seem to think that that's a sentiment, that people, when they make a lot of excuses, they're lying?
I would tend to agree with that. Making excuses is just another way of not having to do something, because if you don't make excuses, it's something you want to do. When it's something you don't want to do, you'll make an excuse for it.
Okay, so why do people lie? Why do they have a tendency to lie? What do you think?
It's a variety of reasons why people might lie. They might be scared of the consequences, maybe not wanting to face a particular conversation with someone because they're fearful. So it's a variety of reasons why.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Ms. J, go ahead and give us that disclaimer tonight, please.
Okay.
Somebody's making noise in your background. The studio's picking up every sound. If you're not on, please be so kind and put your phone on mute, please. Okay, Ms. J?
Okay, disclaimer. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinions and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
All right. Thank you for that, Ms. J. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in here. Ms. Marjorie Cross, one of our – Ms. Cross, I want to say hello to you. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. All right. Perhaps she's just listening. Let's go over to – there's another name that's coming. Let's go to another one here, 770-862. Your name is not coming up into the queue. Who do we have with us?
Good evening, Dr. Jesse. It's Alexis.
Alexis, thank you for joining us this evening. It's so good to have you on board with us this evening. Let me go ahead and we're talking about excuses tonight. Let me get to the story, you all, because we've got a lot to cover with tonight's broadcast. And I want you to really be thinking about this here, you know, in terms of whether or not people actually are making lies, telling lies. And what do you think about tonight's story? And as it relates to that. But before we do that, Patrol, I want to bring you in here. Patrol, do you think it comes out to when people are making excuses, they're actually lying? What are your thoughts on that?
I tell you, you should have asked me that question. Let me get it right. 75, 60, 55 years ago. I was just like the Demon Slayer. The military really, really taught me when I came in 66. Wow, when I went through boot camp, you know, if you wanted to get that drill sergeant, drill instructor mad, you make excuses. You know, it's no black. It's either black or white, and it's no in-betweens, you know. So I think it's just a way of just, excuse my crude grammatical expression, is telling little white lies, whether it's purple lies or a lie, it's a lie. I don't care how you put it. So excuses is another way of telling untruths. Back to you, Dr. Walker. That's my thoughts on that.
All right, let's go ahead and welcome Benny from the block. Benny from the block, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Thank you, and good evening, and I'm excited to talk about this show.
Okay, excellent. All right, we're going to go right to the story right now. You all would definitely want to hear tonight's story. Let's see here. Our characters in tonight's story, surprisingly, are Quinn, Priscilla, you all really want to take stock of this one here. So if you're making noise in your background, you really want to mute yourself so that we can all hear it. It's Quinn, Priscilla, and the handyman. The handyman. The scene is their home lifestyle. Quinn and Priscilla, now they've been married for the past 8 years. They have two young children, ages 4 and 6. Now, Quinn and Priscilla are both in their early 20s. They met through a mutual friend nearly 9 years ago. Priscilla is an extrovert with lots of energy who loves people and socializing. Quinn, on the other hand, is an obvious introvert who is quite reserved, who borders on being extremely boring and finds in his mind reasons to always have an excuse when it comes to doing anything or going out with his wife. Like every marriage, they have their ups and downs, of course. Over the past 5 years of their marriage, they appear to have more downs than ups, and this is partly due to the fact that Quinn makes excuses just about anything or everything. His constant excuses have gotten to the point of complete frustration for Priscilla because her cup has overflowed with putting up with his lame excuses. Now, here are just a few of the excuses that Quinn will make on a daily basis as Priscilla tries to have sensible and marital discussions with him. Number one, she asks him about going to church with her and the kids, going with them as a family, and he makes an excuse that the church is always begging for money, and he's not with that program, okay? Number two, she asks him to get repairs done around the house, and he insists that he will get it done in his own time and does not want his wife acting like his mother to get it done even when it has taken over 6 months to get the work done. She asked him about having a date night out with her at least once every 2 weeks. That's not asking too much. Once every 2 weeks, and he always finds a reason to give her an excuse or really blatant lie that he comes up with. Now, for the past 4 months, he has been promising to get an oil change and fix the brakes on her car, which has not happened, and the brakes are seriously bad. And then finally here, these are just a few of them now. When Priscilla asks him to go shopping with her for grocery or simply an outing to the mall, he insists that he has made plans to watch a sports game with his friends and has never invited Priscilla to join them. Now, 3 months ago, Priscilla hired a good-looking, charming, and single handyman to get things done around the house, which he does a fantastic job at. The handyman has also gotten her oil changed and brakes fixed on her car. It even gets better. At this point, the handyman is getting some other things done as well. As you might have imagined, it did not take very long for the handyman and Priscilla to get seriously involved in having an affair that she is obviously happy with. Quinn has absolutely no knowledge about the affair and commends her on getting things done on her own. Quinn's multiple excuses have caused a serious detriment to their marriage, of which Priscilla is thinking about leaving him and going off with the handyman. After all, the handyman is really taking care of all the business that she needs to have done, and I mean all the business. So let me go here live once again, and Demon Slayer, I mean, you know, we look at things morally and spiritually, and we just wonder what's going on. Demon Slayer, the handyman seems to be quite handy. What do you think?
Looks like he's very handy. He's too handy. I think it comes down to when your communication before marriage. I think I kind of knew that he was an introvert. She was an extrovert. You know what I mean? Those two really don't mix. You know, because I'm really an extrovert too. And you know, sometimes I like to chill and sit in the house and you know, relax, read the Bible, look at a good movie or something like that. I can be introvert or extrovert. It seems like you have to be both in these time of days. You know what I mean? I don't think it's right for her to have an affair with her, but it gets to the point where you get tired of, I'm trying to see it from both sides, you know. He keep coming up with lame excuses, so I understand that people coming up with excuses not to go out and stuff like that. You want to have a good time after you get off work or something like that. And then you're trying to set up date night. You're trying to do something to, you know what I mean, to make the marriage fresh. But after a while, it gets to the point where it gets boring and your eye going to look somewhere else. Just like we were talking about in the last show, your eyes start to about to wonder. So I don't think it's right for her to have an affair with the guy, but if you let the devil in there, anything can happen.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rick Zareski, I want to bring you in here. The handyman is certainly being handy. I mean, is it his fault that her man makes all these excuses and, you know, which obviously turns out to probably be a lot of lies? What do you think, Rick, to the rescue?
Well, it sounds like he's deflecting, right? And so whatever the issue is, he's not dealing with it, so it's being redirected to someone else. So the handyman is just receiving at this point. And so, you know, that could be, you know, in the beginning stages or something, and, you know, it could be emotional. We don't know how serious that could be at this point, but that's what I gather so far.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, I interviewed a number of women, and I did a survey some time ago, a few months ago, and I asked them, I gave a descriptive of, you know, a handyman, or would you want a man who's academic? Okay, like, you know, many people are. And I gave a description that a handyman can fix this, he can fix that, do things around the house. He may not be making as much money, but he can certainly get certain jobs done. Or would you want a man who can't basically hang a picture, like I can't basically hang a picture straight, but I can certainly hire to get things done? So, Ms. J, surprisingly, most of the women chose a handyman. Ms. J, help me understand that when they would just refuse an academia over a handyman.
You know, Dr. Walker, I think it depends on the age of the woman. A young woman, I think, will want the academic man, for they can grow together and prosper together and do well together. An older woman, hopefully she has already grown and got her whatever she needs, and a handyman would be perfect for her because hopefully he got a little knowledge also. But when you get old, you know, you want to use your money for other things other than repair. You know, you time to travel and go and do. So if you got a handyman that can take care of them little jobs that probably don't cost but $30, cost $100 to fix, and he can get it fixed for $10, you know, I'll go for that. Me personally, I'm nearly 70 years old. I want me a handyman.
You want a handyman? Okay. The handyman
I'm an educated woman. I done got my degree. I done what I need to do. I done had this, you know, all that. But right now, in my lifetime, you know, of course I want an educated handyman, but I want the handyman.
Oh, you want a handyman? So, Ms. J, Priscilla is in her 20s, and she's going for this handyman. So it's not just the older women. And all of these stories are inspired by true stories.
Well, see, you didn't talk about what type of work she did or how she was as far as her career and all that. So she might be established enough where it doesn't matter because she can, like, she paid the handyman at first to get it done, and then I'm sure he said, that's okay, you ain't got to pay me no more. But depends, you know.
So, okay,
you know,
Ms. J, we're going to
the handyman was in the right place at the right time.
Whoa, the handyman. Oh, my goodness. You know,
yes,
Benny from the block. Let me get you in here. Benny from the block. Miss J, please stand by. Benny from the block, are you catching this? The handyman is, he can be more than just handy, young or older now. What is going on?
Hey, I'm catching it loud and clear because I'm a handyman, so I understand.
Okay, all right, okay. So, shoot, I got the wrong skills then. I should have learned how to be a handyman. Somebody needs to help me out here.
Absolutely. If you're a good handyman, you don't have to wait for them to ask you to do something. You point things out to them that need to be done and go ahead and get it done for them.
Wow, look at what world we live in today. We're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Rowe, what do you think on here now? Pastor Rowe, you know, were you a handyman or were you the academia man? Or Pastor Rowe, talk to me.
Oh boy, you make me laugh. I was definitely a handyman because, you know,
hey.
I wanted to, you know, dot every I and cross every T and you know, always looking beyond and, you know, the Valentine's days and all of this and other.
Hey.
You know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just amazed at how.
Yeah. Well, yes, you know, I mean, you know. How can I lose with the stuff I use?
You know what? Muhammad Ali said that, but now sounds like it's coming from a different context. Pastor Roy, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Alexa, I've got to bring you in here, Alexa, and I want to get your thoughts on this here. Alexia, I mean, here we're talking about excuses that Priscilla's husband was making, and then she went over there to the handyman. I mean, seriously?
I'm laughing so hard, Dr. Jesse. Listen, let me just...
Why? I mean, it's like I can't hang a picture straight. And it's like now I'm learning that somewhere along the way I should have been the handyman. Darn.
Well, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
I hear you, you know, I just spent all
of this money here on education. So what is going on? And I still can't hang a picture. So I will tell you this,
and it really is true. The comments that have been made, there's something very attractive about a man who is handy with his hands. It's very attractive.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
I'm saying there's something very attractive about that.
Is that somebody that got a cool hand?
Oh my. You know, I'm just taken aback here. Let me bring Sparkles in here. Sparkles, I'm looking for some kind of mercy, some kind of grace, because this poor guy, Priscilla's husband, I mean, maybe he would have gotten around to it, but not a handyman is taking care of her handy jobs with his hands. So, Sparkles, I mean, what do you think?
My perspective is that it depends on... It depends on the woman. What does she want? Is she looking, whether old or young or whatever, the character of a person, you know? So everybody can't be everything. So if Priscilla knew that her husband, Quinn, let's say hypothetically, that he wasn't a handyman, he was academia and all that stuff, then if that's what she preferred, that's fine. But the thing is that if her husband knows that he is not handy, if he loves his wife, Priscilla, I would think that he would say, hey, babe, I'm going to get somebody to do this because, you know, I can't, but I'm going to get somebody to take care of it.
Right.
So that there wouldn't be any problems and stuff like that. So I just look at it a little bit different and all. Yes, it is something that's kind of attractive with somebody that can work with their hands. But on the flip side, it's just as attractive with somebody that academia that can think and use their brain.
Okay, so you would be all right with the man if he can't hang a picture or fix the toilet bowl or stop the water from running underneath the sink? Or put a filter in the air conditioning unit?
I would be okay, but I would expect that he would get somebody to take care of it.
Okay, even if it takes 2 or 3 months and then you decide to get a handyman to come in there and the handyman is good looking. And I mean, what do you think?
No, not
3 months.
What
would you do if you had to wait for your man to do your academic man? Didn't get around to those things, and you hired a handyman, and he looked appealing. What would you do?
Well, that's just opening the door for a temptation and stuff like that. That's the whole problem.
Okay,
that's why we're in this situation now.
So are you saying then, Sparkles, that sometimes temptation can, because we had a show on that recently, that temptation is hard to resist in some cases, and we know that everything in life, when you ask any question, the two answers that will come up, or two words that will come up, it depends. But if we can get beyond it depends, what would you say? Would temptation be that hard to resist? If you're saying if Quinn now got this, it looks like he's 8 months pregnant, and, you know, ain't nothing going on because he's not even taking you out. And the handyman comes in there, and he looks like he got a body, you know, that really, you know, like The Rock or some of these guys, right? He's looking real good.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Sparkles. I mean, if you rather us pass, we'll know what you mean when you say pass anyway.
That's hard. I mean, temptation is out there. It's hard.
It is hard, isn't it? It's hard, isn't
it? It is very hard. It's very
hard out here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
all right.
It is.
Sparkles, we're going to ask you to stand by. And Miss J, what you gonna do now? You got this situation here where this man shows up, he's handyman, I mean, just got the body out of this world, that it's like, and your man has sat around, he can't hang pictures, he can't do any of these things, and he looks like he's 8 months pregnant, Miss J. Come on, Miss J. I mean, that's your husband.
You know what, Dr. Walker, the problem here with Quinn and Priscilla, really, it's not about him not doing the repairs and doing the work. Quinn is just, you know, for every excuse you give, there's a reason why you give me. And Quinn's reason is, I don't know whether he just don't care about being with Priscilla, not attracted to Priscilla, but Priscilla, she have needs and desires, and Quinn ain't filling them. If it wasn't the handyman, it might have been the milkman. It might have been the deacon in the church. Whoever would have gave Priscilla some attention that she well needed, sound like Priscilla would have went for it. So Quinn is doing nothing. He messed it up. He
so
got to get with the program. You got to work to keep your woman.
Miss J, so you're saying it's Quinn's fault now, Miss J? Really, Miss J? It's Quinn's fault?
Quinn is not doing anything to keep his wife happy and secured and to feel loved and cared for. He just sit back, I'll take care of it later. Oh, we'll go out next month. Excuses. You got to work. You got to show that love and affection to keep your woman. Because at some point, that woman got, and then she in her 20s too?
Yeah.
Oh, man, she's still in her prime.
We're going to ask you to stand by, but hey, we got a live one here tonight. It's just like, this is incredible tonight. Rick to the Rescue, I want to bring you in here. Rick to the Rescue, is there any hope for the man who's academic versus the man who's the handyman?
Well, I guess there's no hope if a person knows what they want, right? Because, you know, some of the ladies just sound like they know exactly what they wanted. So, you know, it's kind of hard to fight against that.
It sure is. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like over here baffled. I'm like, what is going on? Alexis, I'm going to bring you back in here just before we go to Benny from the block. Alexis, I mean, what chance do the guys who get in debt with all these student loans, you know, just because they can't do certain things and change the tire on the car or cut the grass.
I didn't say just because the man is attractive that you have to go in that direction. You don't have to act on the fact that he's attractive and handy with his hands. And there's nothing, and there's also an attraction with a man who stimulates you intellectually. You can have a conversation with him. That's attractive as well. Now, let me just add this. Priscilla is making excuses. I got to get on Quinn's side for a second. Priscilla is making excuses. She's saying he's not taking care of things around the house, so I've got a handyman. He's attractive. I'm going in that direction. That's an excuse. That's just another excuse. Everybody's making excuses here. And as Ms. Jane alluded to earlier, what is the real reason? Let's talk about the reason that any of this is going on.
Okay, that's a very good point. So we're all human. We're human. And just like men are visual, women are also visual. So let's just turn the tide for a moment. And everything comes down to it depends. So we know that part. But now you've got, let's just say if the handyman were looking, if he did look like he was 8 months pregnant, came in and he wasn't appealing, okay, that's not even. Alexis, does he have a chance? That handyman. Looks like he's 8 months pregnant. He's not appealing. Does he have a chance? Or you're like, hurry up and get the job done and get out of my house, guy, because you heard me.
First of all, if I'm committed to my marriage, I'd probably dismiss that good looking guy with the hammer and get somebody else.
Okay. Okay, see, now the reality is coming. So, Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here. Benny from the block, are you taking all of this in? You know, so it all comes out to it depends. So we just heard Alexis say if the guy's good-looking and she's committed to her marriage, she's going to dismiss him. I mean, is he supposed to be penalized because he looks good? Benny from the block, what are we talking about?
Well, I think she's already dismissed Quinn, and and has chosen another adversary. So, hey, I mean, listen, we do this to ourselves. You know, I don't want to always put it on the women. I want to sometimes say that men, we make major, major mistakes and miscalculations thinking that it's all cool. If you see somebody doing something around your house, you got to step your game up, because if he's starting to do it around your house, it's a matter of time before he starts doing it somewhere else too. So it's our fault. We're supposed to be the king of our castle. Sound like we the joker of the castle in that situation.
So Ben from the block, are you telling me that we need vocational training as a man to go learn how to change a tire and, you know, hang a picture and fix the toilet is running? It's like, baby, don't wake me up to fix that thing. You know, use the other bathroom. Talk to me, Ben from the block.
Well, first of all, men used to be men, and so now it's divided into four sections. You got some men who are not really men. You got some men who are trying to figure out how to be men. You got some men who play like men, and then you got some men who are men. So you got three quarters of the men who are not even truly understanding what it is to be a man, and one quarter that do understand to be a man. So somebody ain't teaching somebody something. I don't know if it's because we have a plethora of men who are just in single-parent homes and don't get any training anywhere. I don't know if it's because we don't have vocational school. I don't know. I don't really understand all that. But what I'm saying is you got to be a man at some point in your life, whether it's in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. You got to be a man somewhere in your life, because if you don't, then you'll keep repeating the same things over and over and over again, and you'll keep going through women over and over and over again, and you won't figure out that it's not them, it's you.
Wow. Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by here. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here, Demon Slayer. And Demon Slayer, it's like a lot of this stuff is just enlightening. I mean, now Sir Ben is saying that, you know, you got four categories. They're put in categories, you know, of men. And then, of course, we respect all opinions on here. So, but this handyman is kind of like scary in terms of being handy, because it's like if you're on the night shift at your job. Demon Slayer, let me just come right out and ask you. You're married and your wife's there and you work at night, and you've seen the handyman, right? And you know this guy is like, wow, this is a nice-looking guy. You know, men recognize other men as nice-looking. Do you want him coming out at 11 o'clock at night when you're on the 11 o'clock shift, you got to go to work, and your wife says, I'm going to call the handyman to come out and fix the plumbing that, you know, in the other bathroom. And she don't even need that bathroom fixed right away. Demon Slayer, talk to me.
It goes back to the point where you don't supposed to have another man in your house at all when you're there at the house. So all the other stuff, temptation, all the other stuff won't come, you know what I mean? You won't have to go through that stuff, you know what I mean? You got to wait till I get off work to go there. You know, I'm not really worried about no guy being good looking, because I am too. I got a nice tail. I look good. I ain't worried about all that, you know what I mean? So. But it's just a point of, you know what I mean, not having another man in your house. Just like, okay, we can reverse and say, okay, a woman might can do the same thing. I know a lot of women that's very handy. And
right.
If my wife would be at work and I had a nice-looking woman in the house, that's not right. I'd say, okay, you got to wait till my wife come home. That's the way I grew. That's where my I learned from my parents, because even my dad's brother couldn't even come in the house. He said, you got to wait till my husband get him. My dad's brother couldn't even come in the house. Yeah.
So things
like that still exist? It existed back then. To me, if my wife's going to be like that, I want her to have the same respect for me, because I'm going to give you the same respect. You can't come in till my husband get home, or you can't come in here till my wife come home. That way you eliminate all the other stuff that Quinn and the other guy going through.
Okay, so, Demon Slayer, I got to ask you this question, all right? You're on that night shift. You had to be to work at 11. But your wife was telling you, she said, honey, I smell gas in the house. And you looked at the gas, so the stove is on. But, you know, she smells gas. And you say, she says, do you smell it? You say, well, no, I don't really smell anything. She says, I know what I'm smelling. You know, the gas is a silent killer. But, you know, there are times when you can smell that gas leak. I had one in my house. And, it's like something is not right. The stove is on, but I'm smelling gas. So now it's late at night, and you're gone to work. And so she just – and you got small kids at the house. And, you know, families die when there's a gas leak. I read about it all the time. And so now she needs to call someone, the emergency gas unit, right, to come out. And I had to do that. And so they came out, it was late at night. They came out like an hour and 45 minutes later, you know, and they just say, if it's really pronounced, then, you know, just go outside. The driver should be there within an hour to 2 hours. So it was really pronounced in there. And they said, don't strike a match, don't turn on anything. So now you're at work, and the only person that's going to come out is likely a man. What do you want your wife to do at that point, Demon Slayer?
If you got an emergency situation like that, it's going to be more than likely more than one person. And plus, you can't stay in the house anyway. You're going to have to stand outside of the house for them to do the work. So I would just tell her, just stand outside out of the house with you and the kids. Why are you going to have the kids in the gas? It might be a gas leak or anything. So the first precaution, safety precaution that they're going to do is keep you out of the house a certain footage. And then after you finish, you sign the paperwork, then you can enter the house. I don't see anything wrong with that. But for you being in the house with another guy by yourself, I don't think that's a good idea. You asking for trouble.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by because the guy that came out that night, he came out late. It was almost 1 o'clock in the morning, and he came alone, and he stayed here and worked for about an hour and a half and put a notification on the stove and on the heater, the hot water heater, that neither one of those things were to be turned on, so I couldn't even use hot water for a couple of days. So let me go back here now. Pastor Rowe, let me bring you in here. Pastor Rowe, I mean, is it – you got a wife and kids at home, and she's smelling the gas. I mean, and she got an emergency situation. Should she stand out, and it's cold out? Let's just say it's cold outside, and that's what it was during my time when I had it. It was like I was not even used to a gas stove because where I come from, I had an electric stove. So now you're smelling this gas, and it turns out it was a gas leak. That was a dangerous gas leak. So, Pastor Rowe, you got the wife and kids, and it's cold outside. Wake the kids up, put them outside. What do you do, Pastor Rowe? You only have one car, and you took that car to work. What do you do, Pastor Rowe?
Okay, I'm going to be straight up with you, you know, and I know my background and all this, and, you know. But if that
okay,
happened
what's your
to
background?
Me,
tell us, Pastor Rowe, so we'll know for my listening audience.
Well, I'm not so heavenly minded, and I'm no earthly good. I just put it that way, you know.
All right,
but
we got it.
If I was in his position, I would tell my boss, man, I said, look, man, I see if we can get somebody to take my shift for a couple hours or so. This is going on, and I would be burning rubber getting home, taking care of my family. You know, I ain't worried about no Tom, Dick, Harry, or nobody. I'm going to take care of my family. That's the kind of person I am, straight up. If the man didn't let me go, well, then I just have to get fired, man, you know, straight up.
Wow. Is that serious, Pastor Rowe?
Well, I'm just telling you, man, I love – see, somebody said you know, be the king of your castle, you know.
Right.
And I say be the man of your house, man. You know, when it comes to my baby and my family and my children, you know, I do what I got to do. I ain't going to be talking about, John, go check her out, this, that, other man. I'm going to go and see about my baby and my children, straight up.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you this. Now, Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, your husband tells you, you know, he's on the night shift. And Miss J, the question to you here, like a Quinn, you know, and he commends you on getting things done. So, Miss J, you're going to wake up three kids, take them outside and wait in the cold. There's no car for the gas man to come and check the emergency thing out. What are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, if that man gets there early enough and your husband told you, say, listen, I don't want no man in my house, girl. You know, he had to travel over an hour and a half to get to his job, so he can't get there in time. What you going to do? And you got three kids there. What you going to do, Ms. J, honestly speaking?
Okay. Honestly speaking, everybody have their opinion. I have nothing against anyone's opinion. But
right.
I'm not going to have a controlling man in my life. You know, our marriage is going to be about trust, trust, trust. And if we smell gas in this house and I need to call the gas company, whoever, and my husband, I call my husband, first thing, my trusting husband, because he got a trusting wife, that's what marriage is about, trust, would say, go outside and wait for the man, whoever come, he won't worry about me cheating with somebody or a man being in the house. That's irrelevant. You know, we're talking about the family. We're talking about the children. If it's
A man, so be it. One man, so be it. If he wants me to come back in the house for some reason, my husband, if he come home, that wonderful. That show me that he loves me. But I'm not going to wait till I do anything till he gets home. So, you know, and, you know, that's what it's about, trust and not controlling me. You know, that I'm sorry. That just don't make no sense to me. And who's going to be thinking about cheating and all that? You're talking about emergency. And, right. And like, I have my brother-in-laws and all. They spend the night here. That's family. That's trust. I can't tell my brother-in-law he can't stay here because my husband working at night. That's family. That's just my
okay.
opinion.
We're going to – we got a live one here tonight. We got a live one here tonight, you all. We got to take some of these comments that have come into the studio. Alexis, we're going to give you the first one. This comment comes in. This female, she says, are your excuses causing a detriment in your relationship with others? She says, the short answer for me to this question is yes. I was married for 17 years, and all my husband did was make lame excuses about any and everything. It was the most boring time of my life. I honestly only stayed until my two children were old enough. Then I divorced him and got with a man that we used to come to the house as a handyman. Whoa, what do you say? You know, this handyman stuff, you know, we need to take stock and wonder about this handyman stuff. What do you think, Alexis? Her husband was boring, she said.
The issue is trust, Dr. Jesse. The issue is trust. Everybody has issues, so she probably had some things that he had to put up with, too. In terms of excuses, there are reasons that people make excuses. Sometimes they're just lying. Sometimes they're afraid to tell the truth. The reasons that they give you or the excuses that they give you may be truthful, but they're not the reason. So the problem is, why aren't you able to say what the real reason is? Why can't you say that? Is it the other person? Is it you? And I guess that boils down to communication, because you've got to be able to express yourself authentically. They're making
all right. So Alexis, while I've got you here, the same question to Miss Jay and others out there. So if it's cold outside and you got these three kids at home and your husband works an hour and a half away, you've notified him that it smells like gas in here. And he's like, girl, let me tell you, this here for the final time. Don't you let no man up in my house while I'm not there. What you going to do, Miss Alexis?
I don't think that I would marry a man that would be that controlling or distrustful of me. I would want to respect him, but that would be putting us in danger. And I think if he loves me, he's not going to want me to be put in danger or his children.
But sometimes we don't know until we do marry them. So now you discover this here, now you got an emergency situation and your babies are there. What are you going to do? And that man has given you instructions as the priest of the home.
You're going to take care of your family, Dr. Jesse. You just have to take care of your family. You're in a dangerous situation. You need to get that fixed. And then you deal with the issues in your marriage. But you got to get it fixed.
Okay, so now the next morning when he does come home and you've taken care of business, and now he's fussing you out and cursing you out and calling you all kinds of names that don't come heaven bound. So now what do you do? And he's just accusing you. What? Now what, Ms. Alexis?
Well, I don't think that I would have married a man like that. But if I did, then I'd have to go postal on him.
Oh my goodness gracious! Out here, you know this is. You know, this tonight's show is just, I don't know what is happening. Sparkles, would you, like, be that woman who's, you know, like they used to talk about being obedient? Would you obey your husband? Is that a proper word, Sparkles?
I wouldn't say obey like the others have said. It comes down to safety. And so I would do what is going to be safe for me and the children. Maybe go to my neighbor next door, knock on their door.
But he's a single man. Your neighbor next door.
Whatever.
Man, what if your neighbor next door is a single man, Sparkles? What happens then, Sparkles? And he's the closest neighbor.
Okay, well,
and he does like you, and you know that, Sparkles.
okay, well, maybe I wouldn't go to the neighbor that is single. I would make sure I strategically think first and say, hey, okay, who can I go to? So I'm not actually causing more problems with my husband since he doesn't want, well, not my husband, but Priscilla.
Right. See,
Quinn, you know, and stuff like that. But maybe think it through to where I'm not adding more fuel to the fire.
Uh-huh.
Because of the spouse, Quinn, is going to have issues because I'm not supposedly obeying him.
Uh-huh.
But I would find safety, refuge, some safety with a neighbor family that can take.
Right. But if that neighbor is single and other neighbors are so far away, there's no car to get to them. And you got babies in the house. Now, isn't it true, Sparkles? I mean, just think about it. Sparkles, we're not going to put you. Just stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, isn't it true, even if that neighbor is single, and you don't have a car to go anywhere, and it's cold outside, and you smell this, you have an emergency situation. Miss J, are you going to think about your husband at the time, or are you going to be thinking about your babies at the time? Honestly speaking, Miss J, and go to that single man who you know likes you. Talk to me, Miss J.
I'm going to think about safe and my baby and me. The single man might like me, but if I'm committed to my marriage, that don't mean I like him. I'm on a purpose, and my purpose is to get my kid in safety, not to try to mingle with a single man, you know,
right.
I'm there for a purpose.
Uh-huh.
So he probably,
right.
him, I, you know, I won't be thinking about him. And then I would go back out and talk to the gas man or whoever I need to talk to. I would not submit to stupidity. You
right.
know,
when your husband gets in the next day, and he said, and the single man next door, because you didn't tell your husband, right? Well, you tried to tell him, but he wasn't listening. And then the single man says, oh, your babe came over the other night, you know, and, you know, man, she was good. She was good over here, and the kids were good, you know. So
yeah.
Now, before you say anything, Mr. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here. So, Demon Slayer, your neighbor's telling you that. He's a single man. And he said, yeah, man, she was hot, man. She was good. So how do you interpret that, Demon Slayer?
I have to agree with Miss J. That's why you got to have communication in your marriage and trust and everything like that. So I completely agree with Miss J because she's been married a long time, 42 years, and she got a lot of experience in it. And without communication and trust, you'll believe the lies and the excuses and all the other stuff. But if you got a marriage that you're real tight, hey, and I just asked my wife, I said, look, he's spitting all this game. So what really happened, baby? Hey, baby, this right here happened. And I believe my wife. I said, okay, that's cool. And look, then I approach him. I say, look, man, you have to go. You didn't have to tell the story like that. Just be honest with it and don't try to, you know, try to mix any lies or other stuff into it because I trust my wife totally. So all that stuff you doing with.
Wow, that is this is the first time I've heard that a man says he trusts his wife totally. So, Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there must be some perfect women out there or perfect men too because
they are.
You can really trust a person totally?
Yes.
It depends on who you're with, who you know the person, you know, your communication level. That's why I say this goes all the way back before you even got married, when you was communicating and get along, and then you know that person. Then you set the foundation rule. Hey, look, baby, I'm going to always be honest with you. I don't care if it hurts you. But it always goes back to – it doesn't even matter about the neighbor. All you're trying to do is you're trying to get the gas right and all that stuff. Well, your house might blow up, and you worry about – messing around with some other dude. I mean that is stupidity. That don't make sense.
You know what, Dr. Walker?
Yes, Ms. Jane.
Years ago, I had my girlfriends, quote girlfriends. We was talking.
Right.
They said, you know what? They all men cheat. And I spoke up. I said, no, they don't. Yes, they do, girl. They gonna do something to cheat. They all no, they don't. How you know? I said, 'cause my husband don't cheat. And I don't cheat on him. They say, how you know? Because I know my husband. And yes, you can know and trust.
All right. That's a very good point. We're going to ask you all to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We've got a live one here tonight. Are your excuses causing a detriment in your relationship with others? So, Ms. J, I'm going to ask you this question. Just, Ms. J, do you think men generally can just tell the truth all the time, Ms. J, all the time?
I think some men can, yeah. Because I'm not going to use the word all.
Okay.
There are
all
some
the time,
good
though.
Men out there.
All the time, Ms. J.
Well, I think I personally think if they have someone that they trust and love, they will be honest all the time.
Okay.
Why don't you lie? You know, I'm telling you this a little quickly. My husband was a major on the police department. Good-looking
right.
man in his suit, black dog, all looking good. He had numbers everywhere. He'll come home.
Right.
I said, what did he said? There were some numbers that some ladies gave me. I said, I tell you what, I'm going to put them in this little dish for you because you might want them. He said, girl, throw them things away. I didn't throw them away because I trusted him. I know that was just what women was giving him.
Wow,
you know?
Miss
And
Jay,
he didn't care about calling
oh.
those numbers. And, yes, men can be honest. Yeah, women slipped a little number to him, give it to him. Yes.
Ms. J, do you think all women can be honest, though? Same question.
It depends. I ain't going to say all. I keep telling you, there are some good ones out there.
All right, we're gonna ask
you. I don't know
you.
How many out there, but there are some.
we're gonna ask you to stand by. All right.
I'm going down now.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Reach to the rescue. This next comment is for you. This male writes in. He says, before I was married, my wife and I dated for 14 months. During the dating stage, we did so many fun things together. 6 months into our marriage, she has become a couch potato and does not want to do anything but make excuses for everything. I truly love her, but I am so bored. Help me, please, with any suggestions. Reach to the rescue. You got any suggestions for him? He's bored.
Right.
Did he find him a handy woman? What?
Yeah, if he's bored, you know, maybe he has to initiate more. You know, just go out there and say, hey, we're going here. Go pick out the clothes for us. Set it down on the bed and say, hey, we're going at, you know, 8 o'clock. This is the place we're going, and just make the move happen. I think what happens often, marriages, relationships, they stop growing, right? And I know we talked about, and you posed that question earlier about should, you know, he go back and learn those skills. I mean, I don't see why he shouldn't go back and learn those skills. This is like even if a woman learned how to cook something different, like, you know, it continues to grow because once it stops growing, that's what makes everything boring. So I don't think there's ever a situation where you just stop doing anything.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, we got this next comment in here. You all, we're almost out of time. We only got about 7 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Ricky to Rescue, will you close us out tonight?
Yes, no problem.
Okay, are your excuses causing a detriment in your relationship with others, including your significant other? Benny from the block, this next comment for you. This female, she writes in, and we got to go quickly, you all, because we're almost out of time. She says, I'm not proud of this, but my husband of only 4 years is not affectionate, romantic, or loving. I'm here for our 4-year son, and he makes good money taking care of home and family. My husband does. I'm seeing a guy on the side that I met at the gym, and I heard your story last week, Dr. Walker, about Mark and Nancy. And this guy at the gym, we have so much fun together. He is also married with a boring wife. Now I feel much happier. Even though it's not right, I can't help it. Benny from the block. You know, we even did a show on does love just sometimes happen. That's what was last week. Now she done met a guy at the job, I mean at the gym, and she heard the story last week. Benny from the block, what do you think?
I think life presents you either a trial or a tribulation, not both. So she's got to realize that she's in a tribulation, and I hope that she doesn't fail the trial.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Trials and tribulations. Is there really a difference? Okay. Benny from the block, break that down for us in 15 seconds or less. Trials or tribulations? Trials are the yields or to yield not to the temptations and the tribulations of what we're going to be going through? What is it?
Yes, a trial is just something to bring to the forefront of who you are and what you are and what you believe you are. The tribulation is the effect of you not being able to come to the conclusion about what the trial was, how it's affecting you, and why it's affecting you. Most people don't realize that the trial is used to grow you, to make you better about who you are, your character, your growth. The tribulation is a result of your failure to acknowledge who you are. And so she even says it in the thing, I know it's not right. Why would you say that? Why would you say you know something's not right? If you know it's not right, then don't do it. But see,
but she says she can't help herself. She says, I can't help it.
Because now you're yielding to temptation. And so when you yield to temptation, then the tribulation that comes out of that is far worse and far detrimental to your life.
All right. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. And just a commercial break here. Pause for a second. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you all who are sponsors to our program, whether you're subscribing or for yourself to get our weekly newsletter, whether you're one who purchases our books, or whether you're one who sponsors someone else on behalf of someone else. I want to send a special thanks to all of you all, those of you all especially recently. Today we presented a check to the YMCA, Villages of Carver, YMCA in Decatur, Georgia, for a substantial amount based on the sponsorships that you all are doing with us. So these are accolades to each and every one of you all that we certainly appreciate what you're doing, and it's through your sponsorship, and you all know who you are. It's through your sponsorship that we're able to do things like this. And we also just yesterday helped a young lady out who was going through some financial crisis. We presented a check with her as well. So it's because of you all, and I don't take all the credit for it. It's coming through the organization, but it's because of your sponsorship we're able to do this here. So thank you all for what you do for so many others through this programming. All right, this next comment, we got to move real fast because Ricky the Rescue is probably ready now. Alexis, I want to bring you in here and say this male writes in. He says, I've been dating this lady for the past 2 years. I must say I am really in love with her, but she makes so many excuses until I think some of her excuses are lies. She does not want to do anything except enjoy eating and snacking. She is getting fat, and it clearly bothers me. I am thinking of leaving her and finding someone who is more into doing things without excuses. Alexis, tell us, you know, he's thinking of letting her go, but he loves her. That's not easy.
Well, if he loves her, then why is he thinking of leaving her?
He says she's getting fat.
What? So? Does he love her or not?
But sometimes people don't want, Alexis.
You know, I understand, and I think I made this comment before. I understand being attracted to and being attractive yourself. That's important. But if you say you love the person and that's not acceptable, then that's a contradiction. Or you have a right to have that preference. You have a right to have that preference. Once you get married, though, you've made a commitment. So when changes occur, do you just walk away or just do you work with them?
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sparkles, I want to bring you in here. Sparkles, you got 15 seconds on this one here. This female, she says, they say that excuses are the procrastination of time. After being with this guy for only 5 minutes, I decided that I'm going to tell him that I need to move on because he is just too boring. And I think he lies when he makes his excuses. Any suggestions on how to break the news to him? Because he really seems like he loves me, and I'm not feeling the same. In fact, I'm still seeing my ex-boyfriend on the side. Sparkles, what in the world? Sparkles, what do you say to her? She wants suggestions, but she's seeing her ex-boyfriend on the side.
He has to do what is going to be best for her, and also...
So Sparkles,
whatever her values are, she has to, what's best for her, even though it might hurt the other guy. She has to be honest.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. This final comment here. Ricky to the Rescue, we're going to give you this one and then close us out. This male, he writes in, he says, my 24-year-old daughter has been married to who her mother and I thought was a wonderful man. For the past 8 months, she has been complaining to us about how he makes excuses when it comes to just about anything. She is totally unhappy with no children, and he wants children, but she is not sure whether she is going to stay in the marriage. We are a Christian family who do not believe in divorce, but we don't want to see our daughter unhappy because she is so young. She's asking us for advice, and we're not sure what to tell her. Dr. Walker, perhaps your guest could shed some light on this for us. Yes, we have recommended Christian counselor, but she's not really interested. Rick the Rescue, what do you tell them? They're asking our show for help. You take the comment and close us out, please. Give us your excuse. I mean, your commercial first.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Again, I am Ricky for the Rescue, founder of A Path to Greatness, LLC. I'm Wolves of Light, transformative life coaching services for people in need of direction. And so to answer that question is very tricky because, first of all, when a person is kind of with someone, you don't know how blinded they could be by being manipulated, right? And so if that is the case, it's going to be very hard to kind of just jump in there and pretty much do anything. At this point, I think it's very important to be supportive as best way you can by listening and allowing that person to vent, you know, allowing her to vent. And so the more information you gather, you'll be able to move forward from there. In looking at this topic, there's a quote that was said to me by a teacher a long time ago, and it resonated with me. And the quote was, "Excuses are monuments of nothingness. Those who choose to use these tools of incompetence are simple-minded fools." And it stayed with me a while. But it works both ways. And so in looking at the story that we talked about today, she's saying he's making excuses, but I guarantee you if someone was to ask her, well, why are you still with him? She's going to be making excuses too, right? So it's almost like she's in that situation, but she's projecting the same exact thing that he could probably be doing as well. And so, you know, my question is, the excuses that she's claiming that he's making, are they the same excuses? Are they new excuses? Or are they excuses she just thought was going to change at some point? Because at the end of the day, an excuse is going to be an excuse, and people have their reasoning behind doing the things that they do. No matter if it's just, you know, they're deflecting or they're gaslighting and manipulating, whatever the excuses are, they are the excuses. But if you have to look towards someone else to make you happy, you're probably never going to be happy. You have to have self-love, and you have to be happy within yourself within, right? And a lot of that is intrinsic, and it comes from having an actual purpose other than trying to make someone else happy. And so what happens is in these scenarios we've been talking about, it's kind of easy to jump from person to person to person where you haven't really had that self-love to really determine and figure out exactly what you want and need for yourself. And so that's where it becomes dangerous, because then you start sharing your spirit, your personality, and everything else with a whole lot of other people. So you have to be more purposeful in what you're doing. Try to support others, and we all learn and grow together. And so instead of making excuses, let's just try to figure out different ways on how to do things and allow people to fall sometimes, because if you don't allow a person to fall, they may not learn how to get up on their own versus you trying to pick them up all the time. So that's my closing, and I really enjoyed the show tonight. There was a lot of commentary that I just thoroughly enjoyed. So look forward to being on the show again, and thank everyone.
All right, Rick Sereski, we certainly do appreciate your closings as you give them from time to time. We certainly do, and what a wonderful closing tonight. Listen, we're completely out of time, y'all. They're threatening me to get off the air now. And join us here tomorrow night, when tomorrow night's topic is going to be the implications of your excuses, the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's program. You thought tonight was deep? Wait until you hear tomorrow night's program. Well, listen, until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. And Pastor Roll, good night, Demon Slayer. Dr. Walker, everyone.
Good night, Miss Croft. Good night, Miss Croft. Good night, Pastor Rowe.
I enjoyed your comments there, Ricky. I mean, Brother Lorenzo. Great remarks and comments.
You all did great tonight. I enjoyed it.
And to my brother that closed out, great closing, my brother.
I'll see y'all tomorrow night.
All right. Enjoyed you all on the show. Thank you. God bless. Love you all. Bye-bye.
I love you more, Marjorie.
Okay. Good night. Love you all.